Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the voice of the ASWF, Michael Carnahan, joined as always by Cornbread. Cornbread coming at the fans this week with a very heavy heart. The sports world lost an idol, one of the biggest sports icons that I can remember ever growing up. Obviously referring to the Calabasas helicopter tragedy this past Sunday that took the lives of Kobe Bryant, Gigi Bryant, and, of course, seven others. So we here at the ASWF would like to pass our condolences on to the families of those affected, and we will have a moment of silence for the memories of Kobe, Gigi, and the other seven. Well, Cornbread, this Saturday night we get down to business. The show, a lot of things happening and a lot of news to get to. So let's get started, including another embarrassing moment in which Ricky Rowland called me out to the ring, shook my hand, and then proceeded to pull the rug out from underneath me and award the commissionership to Sensational Sarah, of all people. I'm still sick about it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. As far as I did not see this coming at all. And, you know, I do want to ask that. I know you're still a little bit PO'd about the situation, but let's try to be a little professional here and try to progress forward, because I know for a fact you are involved in the majority of the whole entire night throughout the whole night last week.
You're absolutely right about that. And the big news coming up for Saturday is this, and, you know, that's not the only reason why I am PO'd. I'm about to drop some news here on ASWF Aftermath that there will be two matchups this Saturday night.
Okay.
The ASWF Board of Directors has seen fit to change some things around. The series for control of the ASWF will now be spread out over two shows. That's starting this Saturday night, and of course concluding at Heartbreak on the 15th. And the two matches that will occur this Saturday night will be the Suicide King Ray Ray versus D-Mike.
A little rematch from last year.
And Ace Amorta versus Tyler Knight. I am not happy about this. I was not consulted about this. I did not agree to this. I am being forced to do this. I'm doing this under duress. Corbett, I'm going to be honest with you. For the first time since this all started, I'm a little shaken by all this. You know, it went from me only having to defeat Rockin' Ricky Rollin' twice in the best of four series to now it's a best of five series. I have to beat him three times.
Well, hey, you know, Mike, maybe you need to try to give yourself a little bit of encouragement here. You know, you tend to see this as almost...
Cornbread, don't get me wrong. Not that I don't think we can win. I am confident in my guys. I have superior talent on my side.
Then you got nothing to worry about.
But, Cornbread, it's the Manai. The scariest,
you got everything to worry about.
The scariest... most intimidating trio to ever be formed inside of the ASWF. And I mentioned it. I don't know if you saw the drop before we went live here as it plays on Facebook and then live at the arena, at the Valiant Arena before the show. But as I said last night, talking to the fans, addressing the fans, these guys beat you before you step in the ring with them. And while I'm optimistic and know that we will prevail because we are the righteous, right individuals that we are, I'd lie to you, Cornbread, if I didn't say that as we drew closer 48 hours before this event, I don't have a little bit of a pit in my stomach.
Well, I mean, I understand why you have a pit in your stomach. It's because, no, number one, it's the Manai. And the Manai scares any and everybody. I mean, literally, I mean, they are the masters of intimidation. But you have to kind of look at it on your side of things. Granted, I know you probably, quote unquote, are supremely confident. That's bottom line. You went into this whole ordeal supremely confident. And now, when you ended up finding out that it was the Manai, even though your boys tried to, your family, I should say, tried to encourage you, you still, even now, talking right now, you still kind of, I mean, you're fighting right now. And it's almost to the point where you're kind of almost getting close to losing sleep. Am I right or wrong?
I mean, I got the acknowledgement. The fax over this morning to my desk, and I immediately called my captain, the ASWF champion, the original Misfit, Josh Cross, and, you know, there will be some lost sleep tonight. There's going to be some strategy that we have to rethink. But you know what? At the end of the day, Cornbread, that's what it's about. Who's going to make the adjustments at the right time? And I can't ask for a better captain and a better team to lead into this hostile takeover of the ASWF to return it to its once former glory and to get the ASWF back on the right track. Carnahan's ASWF, if you will.
Well, Mike, let me insert myself here into this whole mixture here. ASWF is still the hottest thing going right now, regardless of who's in charge.
But it can be bad.
That's number one. Number two, maybe you ought to start listening to that encouragement Josh Groff is giving you, because I mean, let's really be realistic here. Who knows more about the ASW history between myself and you? That will be you. You've been there longer. You've seen the matches. You've seen the rivalries. You've seen the rivalries and all between Josh Cross and the Manai, and you see a whole lot of different factors. Think about last year with Ray, with the Suicide King, Ray Ray, and D-Mike, one of my Match of the Year candidates right before the Ultimate Winner. I mean, really think about it. Who knows or dies more than the champion? So maybe you ought to take his advice and maybe take his encouragement, because if you literally walk into this whole situation to where it could be a quote-unquote possible on-style takeover, if you're looking on trying to rule the planet and you're trying to rule the planet scared, the Manai will walk right over you guys.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Cornbread. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, I am still supremely confident. My guys will walk out victorious. I have the 2019 Wrestler of the Year, D-Mike. I have Tyler Knight, and I have the most dominant ASWF champion in the history, the now almost 21-year history of this organization. So don't get me wrong. I know that we will prevail. I just know that there will be some tight moments that we will have to get through. Pamela Roach, I'm not on a soapbox right now. I'm just speaking truth to you, the fans. If I have to break it down to your education level, I will. But here's the thing. My guys are about to go to war. And I, unlike you, the fans, actually care about my guys. I care about what D-Mike, what Tyler Knight, and what Josh Cross are going to have to go through to bring home this victory and to bring home the ASWF into my control. That's just the fact of the matter. There will be casualties in war, Cornbread. That's why I'm nervous, because there will be casualties.
And we're gonna talk about that coming up here in just a few moments. But let's get into the night, as we say.
Absolutely.
We kicked it off with let's just say an impromptu three-way match between the Sensual Shooter, and yes, I am using FCC language here. The Sensual Shooter, William Blackwell, the Pretty Boy Matt Oldman, the Big Man Kay Toomer. And what did I say before about Kay Toomer? He ain't playing around. He's all business. And yeah, he ended up with the win in that three-way match. But what were your thoughts about the whole situation? And I know how you feel about Kay Toomer, but let's keep this on a professional level, will you?
Well, I did. I kept my eye on this contest. I'm a big fan of an individual in that contest, the Pretty Boy Matt Odom. The guy shows a lot of potential. The guy's one of the best that we have on the roster right now. And yes, I will say, I was impressed with the Big Man Kay Toomer. Everybody is impressed with the Big Man Kay Toomer. But with that being said, Toomer went out there and won a matchup. He's still got a long way to climb his way out of the hole that he is in right now before he can even think about possibly getting into some contendership. Like I said, though, we're skipping over people to spotlight the more aesthetically pleasing big man. You're talking about the Pretty Boy Matt Odom. You're talking about a guy who, let's be honest, could have won that contest. I mean, did you see him pick up the Big Man Kay Toomer for that Samoan drop?
Oh, yeah, he picked him up. He picked him up multiple times.
Exactly. That should have been ball game right there. Then you look at the Sensual Shooter, William Blackwell, who's really, had a change of situation here recently. The situation is the fact that, he's become this William Blackwell that's become more true to himself, he's told me. So very impressive what he's been able to accomplish, but yet again, he's just another guy that got beat by Josh Cross. That's the thing I look at when I look at the SWS, you know, these guys that are in contention for titles and these guys that are getting options, things like that, is there's the guy, my three, my trifecta, and then there's everybody else. Now, that's a lot of confidence because there is a lot of impressive individuals inside of the ASWF, but I'm just saying I got the cream of the crop waiting for heartbreak.
Well, I'll tell you this. If you notice, towards the end of the contest, and, of course, I know Blackwell and Odom have their, you know, their quote-unquote beef and their quote-unquote reasonings for that match ending the way that it did, because it did end under controversial circumstances, but nevertheless, and I know we're not going to get into that right now, but nevertheless, Kate Trimmer continues to win. And right now, he gets a few more wins, he'll be back in that championship contention, no questions asked. But speaking of impromptu, go ahead.
Trimmer's a lot of victories before he impresses me enough to put him in title contention. And yes, Cornbread, I am knowing that I will be the person making that determination here before too long. But with that being said, Trimmer, I mean, hats off to him. Once again, a very impressive physical specimen, but a man who's gotten too many opportunities already. Time to let somebody else step up. Continue, Cornbread.
Speaking of which, you know, you talk about opportunities. How about a curveball that was thrown to us in our next contest, which was originally scheduled to be another title match between Josh Cross and the Suicide King Ray Ray, renewing that rivalry. But ASWF threw in a curveball that none of us knew about, and I didn't even know it at the table. Because, I mean, I was ready to introduce the matchup, and all of a sudden, lights go out, music hits, and look who walks out. The return of Cody Only, one of the label social deviants. And that ended up becoming a three-way.
You know, that's just about apropos for what happens in the ASWF under Ricky Rowland and now the sensational Sarah Kay administration. We get the odds stacked against us because we have superior talent. But you know what, at the end of the day, it all worked out for the best. You know, of course, Rock and Ricky would want to put your ASWF champion, the most dominant ASWF champion, at a disadvantageous place right before he stepped in to Heartbreak, where he would be pulling for the good guys and on the good guys' team against, you know, whoever the board of directors determines he wrestled on that night. And then, of course, you had Ray Ray. Ray Ray got an excellent warm-up opportunity for his matchup this Saturday night with D-Mike by stepping in the ring with the ASWF champion. And then there's the wild card. Cody Only makes his return to the ASWF. And Cornbread, you can call me a conspiracy theorist all you want, saying that they didn't have an end for us. But let's be honest. All you saw that whole matchup was Ray Ray and Cody Only teaming up against the ASWF champion, trying to soften him up.
I know you probably are a little bit partial. Now, there were moments in that match where that double team did happen, but there were also moments that you cannot forget that even Cody Only and Ray Ray went after each other, because you know as well as I do, those two have a big-time history. And I mean a long, long, long history. And, you know, after everything was said, done, and bottom line, I really wanted to see a winner out of those three competitors, because it was really that great of a matchup. But we did not see a winner out of that matchup, and the match was ruled a no contest.
Why? Why are we disappointed? We all know Josh Cross would have ended up winning, but, you know, the trifecta watches each other's back. And, you know, the thing is, with that being said, Cornbread, they were just tired of seeing the unfairness continue. So, they left the playing field, so to speak.
But you cannot forget about that other trifecta called the Manat. And I know we talked about that at the top of the show. As far as all that concerned.
For the rest of the night, we will not refer to that word, that group's name, for the rest of the night. I've got to get ready for this Saturday night.
So pretty much left tonight.
Each of them. And now I got the big man K Tumor commenting in the comment section. He said, "You must be trying to get laid out in the McDonald's parking lot with your pockets turned out. I haven't said much, but don't forget who and what I am." And I don't think I've been disrespectful. I'm just saying I'm here to level the playing field and give everybody an opportunity. And Tumor, you've gotten your opportunities.
Okay.
Man, I got to watch
calm down. Calm down, Mike. You're about to have yourself another nightmare. All right. As we move on to a Legends match, which I don't think you're quote unquote probably. I know you probably have something to say about this one, but I guess you'd call this a Legends triple threat match that bottom line ended up kind of backfiring, and that is. The one and only Dirty Little Dave made his return to the Valiant Arena. Dirty Little Dave, Loose Cannon, and Handbone Pedro, and bottom line, these three legends. Well, you want to talk about double teaming? Yeah, it was a whole lot of teamwork between Dirty Little Dave and Handbone Pedro. That was until, well, Bone came into effect, and we all know two bones don't make a right, and Loose Cannon ended up walking out the win. But what are your thoughts on that matchup between three of ASWS legends?
Man, I tell you what, it's just yet another situation where these guys get an opportunity. Just like I said, I'm all about opportunity. These guys get an opportunity to come and show their stuff on the big stage once again. Dirty Little Dave, I believe, should have pulled out the victory. I believe he had the superior game plan, but Handbone Pedro, a little miscommunication, and Handbone Pedro was able to pull out the victory.
That's Loose Cannon.
Loose Cannon was able to pull out the victory, and, you know, good on him. Yet another situation where teaming up backfires. It's about all I really have to say about that matchup, Cornbread. Continue.
Well, I was going to throw this question at you. Do you think that even with this Legends match that we had here, and of course we'll get to another one coming up, coming up towards our main event here, don't you kind of think that this little matchup is almost like a precursor to say, oh, we have a Hall of Fame coming up in the month of April?
I mean, very well could be. I mean, I believe Dirty Little Dave is actually a ASWF Hall of Famer, but the way I'm plotting out my calendar, looks like I may very well be choosing the inductees this year as the ASWF owner. So, yeah. I mean, I'd certainly give these guys a look. They've accomplished a lot in the ASWF's many years. But, you know, I'd have to ask them to retire first.
Well, of course, that remains to be seen as we move forward to our next matchup. And let's just say two stories almost kind of combined into one on this one. And that is, of course, Cataclysm, Ace of Mortar. Not going to say the real name because don't want to give you any nightmares or anything. Cataclysm, Ace of Mortar against Luke Justice. And how about this one? Insane Shane. Now, previous, it was Crazy and Luke Justice against another variation of a team, and they didn't get the job done. Now, it's Luke Justice and Insane Shane with DJ, and now they're going against Cataclysm and Ace of Mortar.
You're right about that. You know, and the interesting thing about this, yes, the returning Insane Shane. But let's talk about the real story here. Number one, Cataclysm and Ace of Mortar picking up the victory. Good on them.
Yep.
Good on them, picking
yep.
up some momentum. Heading into this gigantic series for control of the ASWF. But the real story, in my opinion, let's get Luke Justice some justice. Let's get Luke Justice a tag team partner if you're going to put him in the tag team matchup that can carry his weight. You know, a lot of people I've seen bashing Luke Justice for what he did after this contest. And you know what? I do not blame Luke Justice. And the reason for that being, Luke Justice is a competitor. And that's what you have to be to succeed in this world. Luke Justice will tell you that. And Luke Justice has been to the mountaintop. Remember, it wasn't that long ago at our Christmas show that Luke Justice defeated the three individuals that I will go into war against, for lack of a better term. Luke Justice makes a good point in the comments section. They beat Shane. They never beat Luke Justice. As far as I'm concerned, Luke Justice is still undefeated against that unnamed tag team. Go ahead.
Well, I'll say this. You know, it's almost as if Luke Justice has had bad luck with tag team situations here. Because, one, you know, I mean, do not leave out the fact that even though he does have a victory over the Manai at that Christmas show, please do not leave out the fact that he had a tag team partner. Then, in a tag team title match, which it was supposed to be in Luke Justice and his original tag team partner, nothing was there. Insert a new tag team partner. And guess what? That tag team partner, along with DJ, literally just left Luke Justice high and dry. Then, come up to last week, where it was, well, bottom line, it was just a regular tag team match. This time it's the same Shane. And right when Cataclysm and Ace of Mortar got the win, Luke Justice was like, okay, why am I having such bad luck in the tag team division? Because that's how it feels right now at this point.
It's the partners. Luke Justice did exactly what Luke Justice needed to do. He dropped the dead weight. The guy who lost the matchup, Insane Shane, and he's better for it, in my opinion.
Yeah, but here's my question. Where does this leave Insane Shane at the moment, and where does this leave DJ at the moment?
You know, you make a good point. And Luke Justice comment says, it doesn't matter if I'm with a partner or I'm alone, I'll beat them weirdos again and again. Obviously referring to the unnamed tag team that we were referring to. I mean, Luke Justice, you know, the question is, they defeated Insane Shane, a guy who, I mean, this is a guy who thinks he can take a vacation whenever he wants, come back, and be right back into the thick of things as far as competition, be right back into ring shape, as it were, and he learned a unfortunate lesson this past Saturday night, losing to the Manai, a guy who is ultra-talented, but a guy who wasn't ready, apparently, this Saturday night. And unfortunately, it cost Luke Justice, and Luke Justice had to take matters and punishment into his own hands.
Well, speaking of, catching people off guard here, well, how about this next contest that literally caught everybody off guard, but it did not catch a champion off guard, except for right at the end. And what I'm talking about is the Evolution Championship picture. Originally, this was supposed to have been a four-way non-title matchup between Steve-O, Troy Twain, Justin Benson, and Giggles. But the champ, Steve-O, literally said, you know what, forget this. I'm going to put my title on the line. So that's what happened. It was an impromptu matchup for the Evolution Championship. Giggles, Troy Twain, Justin Vincent, all challenging Steve-O for the Evolution Championship. And let's just say a whole lot of interactions and all of that kind of reared their heads into this one.
Christian Cross came in a tag timesman before the match even could start.
Actually, that was during that match, Mike.
Okay, I apologize, but absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I don't understand it. Giggles, you cost him championship gold. This guy is obviously out of his mind, Christian Cross. This guy has lost his mind. And you're going to provoke him even further? Not smart strategy, in my opinion. Go ahead, Cornbread.
Well, I was going to say, there's a lot to talk about here just on this one match alone, because we had a whole lot of stories that literally kind of spiraled off into one matchup. Giggles and Christian Cross renewed their rivalry on the outside. How about Daniel Vincent showing up at ringside and Justin Vincent took his eyes off the championship picture and soared all the way out to Daniel, and those two renewed their rivalry on the outside as well. Let's talk about that for a moment.
But guess what, Cornbread? Daniel Vincent accomplished what he wanted to. Justin Vincent isn't your Evolution champion, is he? You know what? Daniel Vincent remained a thorn in Justin's side until Justin does the right thing. And, you know,
and you also have to say the same thing as far as Giggles and Christian Cross is concerned, because Giggles didn't walk out the champion, did he?
You're right about that, but I think Christian Cross is going to learn a very valuable lesson, and that's not to mess with the crazy man.
Well, I'll tell you somebody else that learned a lesson, and that was the Evolution champion, because right after he scored that win over the everyday challenger, Troy Twain, out came one Gary and Tier, and bottom line, you want to talk about making a statement? He made that statement loud and clear, and bottom line, Steve-O is the man that he wants for the Evolution Championship.
You're absolutely right about that, and that's what I love about this. Gary and Tier stepping up. That's what I want to see. I want to see people step up when this playing field gets even after heartbreak, and I become the owner of the ASWF, the unquestioned owner, the unbiased owner of the ASWF. That's what I want to see. I want to see these young guys step up and take their rightful spot. Gary and Tier is the first man to show me something in quite some time outside of my trifecta. He has a killer instinct, and I absolutely love it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Those two have a whole lot to gamble over when it comes to the Evolution Championship. And speaking of titles and, speaking of focus and all that, and I know you had you had a little bit of a hand in this one, because it's Excalibur. It's Excalibur defending the tag team titles against Tyler Knight and D-Mike.
He signed the contract. We weren't going to give up our title shot. I mean, the guy was under weather, obviously. He couldn't make it. He wasn't reliable enough as your tag team champion to make his contractually obligated appearance.
Well,
what's that then, about
then
your
let me,
professionalism of your then, tag team champion?
Then let me bring up this point. Well, let me bring up this point, Mike, since you're going along with that. When one partner didn't show up for his tag team title match, also same situation here. Who retained and who didn't? Vincent Brothers or Excalibur? Excalibur retained. Vincent Brothers did not.
Excalibur retained because the aforementioned unnamed group decided to present themselves into a situation that didn't necessarily involve them. See, right now, the 2019 Wrestler of the Year, D-Mike and Tyler Knight, should have a new accolade next to their names. They should be the current, the reigning, and the defending ASWF Tag Team Champions. And
but
the
don't
fact
you kind
that
of think it was a,
it's ridiculous.
But don't you kind of think it was a little bit of outside interference that cost you guys the tag team titles? And it was something on your guys' part?
No. See, it was Ray Ray, it was Ace Immortal, and it was Cataclysm that cost us the title.
Well,
we were on our way to victory.
I mean, because it was a darn near riot. And the crazy thing was, it took almost a whole entire locker room just to try to keep you guys separate, just to try to keep everybody separate. You almost needed the National Guard in there.
You're right, and you know, once again, that goes back to the Manai. I mean, Cataclysm, Ray Ray, and Ace Immortal. It goes back to them, what they're willing to put their bodies and their careers and their lives through to come out victorious. And, you know, we all got together afterwards, and Josh talked to the guys, and he said, guys, we know what they're willing to do. Now the question is, and he pointed at each man in the chest, and he said, what is in here? What are you willing to do to make sure that we see out the plan that we formulated? See, it's not about me. It's not about Josh. It's not about D-Mike. It's not about Tyler Knight. It's not about any one man alone. It's about the common goal we have to level the playing field and make everything fair across the board for all the ASWF wrestlers, Cornbread, and I just,
well,
I'm nervous,
well,
but I know what we will fail, because we are righteous and we are right in our beliefs. Go ahead, Cornbread.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, I know the answer to this question, and perhaps you probably know the answer to this question, because throughout the whole entire night, we've seen three champions in action. No question about it. Two titles were decided. And two of the three championship matches, or might say just those two championship matches, the champions held on to their titles. Bottom line, going forward, I know the answer to this question. And my answer to this question is no. And that question is any champion in the ASWF safe? My answer is no. What's your answer?
Josh Cross is. But here's the thing. the target on the back of the Evolution champion just got bigger by guarantee. And trust me, I know that business is not finished with the tag team champions because they were lucky to walk out of the, well, Excalibur was lucky to walk out of the Valiant Arena with the ASWF tag team champion and those not being the possession of the 2019 Wrestler of the Year in Tyler Knight.
But
be something to keep your eye on. I'll let you know that.
Yeah, but Mike, you have to admit the champion, the target on the champion's back, before we even talk about Garrett here in our next segment, you have to know that the target, regardless of what happens in this war, you have to know that the target on Josh Cross's head, back, or chest, you have to know it is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because pretty much you have challengers from all sides coming, and you don't know who could be showing up at the Valiant Arena attempting to try to insert themselves inside the title mix, knowing that Josh Cross is the champion.
Here's the thing, Cornbread, that I don't think you've quite grasped yet. Neither have these moronic fans that are commenting here to MC and Luke Justice. The deal is, Mel Cross is the most dominant ASWF champion in the history of the business. That's not a catchphrase. That's not bulletin board material. That's nothing but fact. So when I say that Josh Cross isn't worried, Josh Cross is supremely confident. It's because he is, and it's because he should be, because he has done something that few have been able to do. He's dominant. I mean, you got to think about it. How often have we seen Josh Cross lose since October? Walking out the ASWF champion from Halloween Resurrection. A championship matchup he wasn't even in, but he had the smarts to go ahead and step on in. And that was the night that I began my conversations and negotiations with my captain, the original Misfit Josh Cross. We'll see how well this pans out this Saturday, starting this Saturday night.
Well, you know, you talked about Gary and Tier having a focus on the Evolution champion Steve-O, correct?
You're right about that.
But there was someone else that he needed to have his focus on, and that was ASWF Hall of Famer, that being one Reggie Montgomery. And let's just say it got hot and quick with those two individuals, especially some of the things that Tier said and the quote-unquote response courtesy of Reggie Montgomery.
Well, here's the deal with
bottom line, Tier gave the ASWF Hall of Famer everything he could handle. But two crucial mistakes led to Mr. Montgomery capitalizing and getting the win. Go right ahead.
Here's the thing about Gary and Tier. Gary and Tier just needs a guiding force in his life, somebody to harness that energy. Gary and Tier is the most aggressive, physically gifted individual that I may have ever seen. The man is a 250-pound ball of rage. And if we can get that harnessed, Gary and Tier won't be able to be stopped, and you'll be looking at your brand new ASWF Evolution champion. Gary and Tier is a genius. Gary and Tier is a thinking man. But when Gary and Tier snaps, he doesn't think clearly. And that's the only thing that's holding him back, a little bit of clear thought. Cornbread, I don't know if you agree on that or not.
Well, I'm gonna take that one step further. I think bottom line, not only is he a future Evolution champion, I'll say he's a future ASWF heavyweight champion, in my opinion. And look how, and you know, monster credit to the ASWF Hall of Famer Reggie Montgomery on the Ebony Idol. He took advantage of the situation. And he literally taught Gary and Tara a lesson that night. But I think bottom line, he earned Gary and Tara's respect because Gary and Tara gave him all that he could handle. And whenever Tara is focused, and we saw it just last year, last decade, when he got focused to where a championship or anything was on the line, he captured that championship just months into his debut at the ASWF. Just months into his debut. And now, I think he learned a very, very valuable lesson, you know, courtesy of Reggie Montgomery. But I think I don't look at that as a negative. I look at that as a positive because, bottom line, I say that serves him when it comes to challenging for the Evolution Championship.
I mean, I would agree with that statement. The thing is here with Gary and Tyr, he is one that we've never seen somebody ascend to the upper echelon of the ASWF as quickly as we've seen Gary and Tyr. Very impressive.
Yeah, I would say that.
I mean, maybe D-Mike, but, you know, the thing is here with this, Gary's on, he's on. When Garion's off, it could be an off night. Only thing he needs is a guiding force. You know, MC just said the rampage Garion tier, and that's exactly what he is when he goes into all this. He's a rampage. He can't be stopped. He's a juggernaut.
So I think we both agree that they. I think we both agree that the only man that stopped the Gary and Tyr is Gary and Tyr at this point.
I agree. I would agree with that. Gary and Tyr probably has the most upside of any of these young upstarts I've seen recently.
Well, I will say this. Go ahead.
I will say that. I will say that this man has a unlimited potential. I'm very impressed with them. Go ahead, Cornbread.
Well, I was going to say, you know, we're on. You brought up early at the top of the show, us heading this being the 20th, starting the 21st year of ASWF, and you know, we sincerely appreciate any and everyone's support throughout all the years. You know, whether you like some guys, whether you don't. Nevertheless, your continuous support literally helps keep us going. And what in being on the road to ASWF 21, which will happen in April, we have to get through to ASWF Heartbreak that will take place the day following Valentine's Day.
You're absolutely right about that. And Cornbread, we're getting towards the bottom of the hour. Go ahead and give us your final thoughts as we head into really part one of Heartbreak this Saturday night as the series begins for control of the ASWF. Go ahead and give the fans your final thoughts as we get ready to close this out.
Well, actually, let me throw that question to you for just a moment, and I want to get your thoughts. You know, as we're heading towards this. Right before I voice my opinion, I want to get your thoughts on that, Mike.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
Well, here's my thoughts, and I'm going to let you in my brain a little bit. 48 hours, almost 47 hours before ASWF this Saturday night where the series will culminate.
Okay.
Cornbread, have you ever heard about a pitcher before the World Series? Or a point guard before the NBA Finals begin. It's what, you know, I'm feeling right now. I know the plan's there. I know the stage is set.
Right.
but, you know, everybody's got to play until they get hit in the mouth. And this Saturday night, we could very well get hit in the mouth. We could go down 0-1. Could go down 0-2. Then that would leave Ricky Rowland with just one more victory needed, heading into heartbreak. The thing about that the thing about that is, I'm going to call it right now, while I'm nervous, Cornbread, Valentine, as you so appropriately put it, we will walk in that night up to zip, and we will culminate the sweep at heartbreak. We're not coming looking for a minor victory. We're coming looking for total domination, looking for the sweep. That's my final thought, as I encourage you all to be there this Saturday night, 201 Highway 367 North in Tuckerman, Arkansas. Be there and tell your grandkids that you were there the night the Carnahan administration truly kicked off. Cornbread?
Well, I'll tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to know the place to be at on Saturday nights, or if you're really looking for that one special attraction that you could just get behind, or just that one sporting event that you can attend to, make sure it's the Valiant Arena this Saturday night. 7 o'clock is the start time. Hey, the doors open up at 5:30. The address is 201 Highway 367 North, as Mike said. Right there is the legendary Valiant Arena in Tuckerman, Arkansas. Folks, believe me when we tell you, this show ain't like good shows. Bottom line, this show will knock it out of the park. And you want us to prove it? How about you be there this Saturday night at the Valiant Arena for another great week as we journey towards heartbreak inside of the 2-week period. Until our next aftermath, for the voice of the ASWF, Mike Carnahan, and for our entire staff and everyone at All-Star Wrestling Federation, I'm Chris Honecker, and we do indeed say to you, show love, give peace, and be an all-star. In the words of the late, great Lance Russell, we say to you, good night and bye-bye, everybody.
You got one. When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide.